We have over 100 online participants with a pretty active discussion, and so I'll this is the Q&A portion, and I'll turn it over to the webinar participants first. But when we do, we'll alternate between webinar and in-room, and when I do pass you the mic, just state your name and organization so we know who you are, and then ask your question. So let's go to the webinar.
And I would just add, please keep, for those who are asking the question in the room, please keep your question concise if you can. So starting with the webinar questions, and I think as the background for our speakers, I think some of our colleagues joined late, so they may need a reminder for some of these questions to understand the presentation. One question, or a group of related questions for Kayo. How is firm performance measured in your systematic review? And what outcomes were suitable for meta-analysis jobs or revenues? And I think maybe a related question is, does your review include agriculture-based SMEs? And I think, and then the second question for both of you, who should conduct evaluation of NGOs and government programs? I think they mean if it's not a World Bank program, who should do the evaluation?
Hello, can you hear me? Okay. So first, we didn't cover agricultural, just private sector firms in urban areas, no agribusiness or ag. The decision for that was a bit arbitrary because we have a lot of stuff going on in agriculture. So quite a few people are already doing that, and very few people are doing what we did. So we decided to, okay, so this is our comparative advantage, so let's stick to it. And hopefully you're gonna get the answer for agriculture from different systematic reviews. And how we did measure those outcomes? Well, we pretty much relied on how they were measuring the studies. So in some cases, these studies reported, outcomes for, let's say, revenues, a continuous outcome in dollars or in current local currencies. That's another reason for why we should standardize measures, because we cannot compare dollars against, for example, pesos or Brazilian reais or etc. So we collect those information on profits, revenues, sales in some cases, assets. So look, that doing that, we put together some stock variables with flowing variables, which is not very accurate, but we had to do it, otherwise we wouldn't have sufficient number of cases to report here. But we standardized each measure for each study, so using the information provided in the study, and we pretty much define a variable that's firm performance if they study reporting information, profit, revenue, assets, and so on, right? So this is not ideal, but in many cases we have to take those decisions. Otherwise, we are unable to say anything about what's going on. So that said, I would say another thing about meta-analysis, meta-regression for those type of studies. So meta-regression is very, very useful and accurate when you have, for example, in medicine, you replicate the same intervention many, many times. And then, or in some cases, different scenarios, but you somehow have some control over the environment. Here we don't have that. Right, so it's a battle. There are many people who don't trust and don't believe a meta regression to this type apply to this type of work. But on the other hand, we have organizations pushing more and more and more for meta regressions. So in the end, it's pretty much what the sponsor or what the organization really wants to do, not necessarily what the researcher would do it by himself or by herself. So in our case, we said, well, we were very honest since the beginning. So we have this quite heterogeneous set of studies, and we don't think we would gain much doing systematic meta-analysis for those studies. But then we said, well, yeah, it's true, but there are ways of trying to control for, you know, some moderate factors, and you can try the best possible. In the end, you just flag that people should read this with some care. This is what we did. Okay? I hope I answer the question.
Yeah, I can take that. So who should do impact evaluations? The World Bank Africa General Innovation Lab and Dime. we do impact evaluations not only on World Bank projects, we do impact evaluations on NGO interventions, so it's not restricted. But I think that the key consideration is that whoever does impact evaluation, the team that does impact evaluation should have researchers in the team. They are less constrained. They are able to put questions that perhaps don't come across immediately when our activities is just to implement projects. And so I think, yeah. I don't know.
Yeah, I would like to add a couple of lines here. Our teams, they work, they collaborate in some impact evaluations, but they are very independent at the bank. But both of them work with field coordinators. And for example, we paid pay close attention to implementation stage of the interventions to make sure that in the end of the day you have good data, implemented the intervention very well. So not only good data, but you actually manage to get data, right? So for example, if the take-up is very, very low, it's impossible to do any evaluation. So if you don't pay close attention, if you don't work with the government, if you don't collaborate during the whole process, it's very unlikely that you're going to get an impact evaluation in the end. So we have a lot of failed cases, many, 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 okay? So for each impact evaluation that goes really, really well, we have 2-3 that didn't work. It didn't work because most of the cases implementation issues. Even having somebody on the ground work with the government full-time, daily basis, is still not able to get sample size needed, good data, and so on. So for those who are willing to do impact evaluation, please play or pay a very close attention to implementation. And if you hire somebody, make sure that this person is fully engaged and committed to do the evaluation. Right. If you hire a star in academia, the guy is so busy that it's very unlikely he's gonna pay 5 minutes, spend 5 minutes of his time doing your impact evaluation. That's
And I just wanted to add to their point, actually, just to emphasize for everyone here, both of their teams do work on impact evaluations for completely external, independent organizations like an NGO or. So long as you're doing interesting work related to kind of their topic areas. So I guess the folks who are here physically have an advantage that you can even approach them afterwards to talk to them about it.
Disclaimer here, that's very important. This doesn't reflect the World Bank's opinion, okay? This is my opinion. So this is really, really important to say because, okay, World Bank guy came here and said all these issues about Brazil. No, I said that. World Bank doesn't have anything.
So we'll actually take two questions from the room. If you have a question, just raise your hand. Say your name and organization.
Good morning. My name is Kailash Iyer, and I represent an impact investment agency called Eco Investments, based out of Netherlands, and I'm coming from India. my question is that we've made investments in certain SMEs, and we've provided matching grants also. But my experience has been that the grants, the impact gets manifold only when we also invest in the complete value chain. So there are specific instances in the value chain which are as part of the whole SME value chain, but not specific to the SME. But once you make investments in those parts of the value chain, the impact increases. So I just wanted to understand your perspective on that.
Hi, my name is Kate Scaife-Diaz. I work with TechnoServe. Your message is about doing an impact evaluation on SMEs and interventions is loud and clear, and so I was wondering if you guys could give an organization like my own, who's looking to do an impact evaluation on our interventions, any advice. We do training to businesses And any advice from the 9% of the research that you saw that was doing training interventions on how we could replicate or improve upon those that you saw? And also, I'd love to hear more about the control group that you established for your intervention. Thank you.
So I can take the first. This is a very important point, because every time you design impact evaluation, you have to be very careful with what's called theory of change or causal links. Okay? So in many cases, you have like intervention, and you want to increase profits or firm's growth. OK, but you have to follow many steps to get there. And if you don't make sure that you're actually addressing all those constraints along the way, it's very unlikely that you're going to help firms to become more profitable and so on. So many people in the past used to do, okay, I have this intervention, my final outcome is this. Didn't change the final outcome, the program doesn't work. It's a big failure. Well, you know, you train teachers, but actually students didn't show up, right? So of course they're not going to improve test scores. So all these issues, they are present in our evaluations as well. So it's very important to, okay, in order to change these final outcomes, I have to change 10 intermediate outcomes, okay? So, okay, my program wants, for example, to develop skills development, training, okay? So first of all, I have to be sure that I have a curriculum. Second of all, I have to be sure that these guys are being taught properly. Then they have a sufficient number of classes or hours. And then I can evaluate if they learn or not in the end. So I have to do it. Many training courses don't evaluate if students learned or not. Then I need to be sure that there's some demand for those guys going to the labor market with those stock of capital you just helped to build. Is there a demand? No, there's no demand. The economy is actually shrinking. So who's going to hire those guys? I don't know. So you have to be careful if you're mapping labor and supply sides, if you're taking care of all those links, causal links that come up with your impact.
A specific question on the control sample. So basically, this is the reason we did this study is that we are conducting an impact evaluation. So the initial goal before ended up in this paper was to find a credible comparison group of firms. So what we did for the control group is in this paper, we just followed basic eligibility criteria to be part of the program, and they were essentially based on firm size. So this program was only valid for micro and SME firms. So what we did, we asked the Institute of National Statistics to provide us with a listing of such types of firms in the country, and then randomly sampled 700 firms in this case to be part of our
webinar. I actually answered some of the webinar questions. So I have my own as the moderator. Question for Kayo. Why do you think you found the regional effects that you mentioned where Latin America is boosting the number, but it's different for Africa? If you could talk a bit more about that in the systematic review. And a question I have for Joao is, you mentioned this cream skimming effect. Why do you think, just to draw a bit more, why do you think program staff may be pressured or have an incentive to cream skim? And how do you think a manager can counter those incentives? Like, how can we actually help them to avoid that and look for the firms who will just benefit the most?
So I'm going to speculate here because it's very difficult to say why, answer the question. What I can tell you is, let me start with the observation. We put together quite heterogeneous sample of countries in one dummy variable we call African region. Under that dummy variable, we have Tunisia and Ghana, and you know, countries there are not very comparable. So some have larger firms, some work with smaller firms. In Latin America, I think the sample is more homogeneous. We have relatively larger firms compared to African countries. So these firms are, if they are larger and the bigger scale, they have larger scale. So if you believe that decreasing returns to marginal returns, we would expect a smaller effect on profits for those firms because they are bigger. So it's more difficult to increase 10% profits in larger firms than in very small firms. So in Africa, if you look at composition of firms, probably talking about smaller than have a greater potential to growth. So maybe if you look at, you know, I think that's the reason of why we found larger effect for African region than for Latin America, because we have actually different composition of firms, have smaller probably in Africa that are more likely to grow faster in the beginning and bigger ones in Latin America. That's
I think the problem with cream skimming is the result of the way implementers measure the impact of their programs. And as I said, they typically rely on a before and after comparison. And so they have the tendency, because they assume that any difference between now and tomorrow is driven by the program, which might not be the case. So, but this generates incentives for implementers to pick the winners, which might not be the ones that benefit the most. So I think that the conclusion that comes out of this analysis is that we need more impact evaluations to understand what is the real causal impact of these programs across different types of firms. And once we understand who are the firms that really benefit the most, we should then instruct our implementing partners on the ground to pick not necessarily the winners, but the firms that these studies demonstrated are the ones more likely.
Great. We'll take two questions from the room.
Thanks. Brian Strobe from University of Maryland's Business School. So this is really interesting analysis of kind of first order issues, whether these have an impact at all. But from a kind of higher level standpoint, I'm curious, did you see any discussion or attempt to calculate the cost of the actual interventions in ratio to the benefits they generate, and, you know, coming from like a business school? I think that's kind of the final ratio that, you know, we care about in terms of implementing this other places, et cetera.
Allison DeMail from Pixera Global. We do linkages and small business development in Mozambique and Ghana. And I have a question about sector specific. Did you do any disaggregation for goods versus services in Mozambique? And if so, was there higher participation among certain sectors?
So thanks a lot for your question. That's actually something we would love to do, and we aim to do it. We love to do it. So we are going to actually look at different interventions to actually be able to compute cost effective, to do some cost effective analysis. To our surprise, we didn't find much detailed information about costs, right? And so we have on our AA right now trying to collect those information. She's struggling quite a lot because it's difficult to find even documents, background documents for those interventions. Okay, what's the market failure this program is trying to address? Let's look at the document. Well, there's no document. You know? Then you email the guys at the agency and get no answer. And, you know, all these issues going on. And if you don't get even the background document, I don't think we're going to get the costs of those interventions. But that's key. We have like one piece of the analysis here, which is standardized measures of different interventions. If you are able to collect the costs, you just need to use those information, compute cost-effective analysis. That'd be awesome.
So on the sectors, by design, the program aims at targeting firms in manufacturing. We, in those results that I showed, we do control for where the firms come from or where they don't come from. The things that our sample is, we only have 1,000 firms, which from a statistical perspective is not that big of a number. So we're not able to disaggregate those results that I showed across different sectors. But firms in the manufacturing sector were the ones that were more targeted.
Thank you so much, and please join me in thanking our two wonderful presenters. have you both here. For the in-room participants, you'll see some surveys on your seat. We do care about your feedback and sort of improving our seminars as we go, so please do take some time to fill those out. And the online webinar audience, you'll see some polls if you haven't seen those already. Thank you so much.